man-made constructs have no time, right? So infinite has no time. So what happens with people? How many here thinks the more money you give, the more money you receive? Anyone believe that? Yeah. Not true. More you give, the more you give, the more you receive. Absolutely true. But money has a value. So when you're giving your money, the more value you give, the more value you receive. That's the infinite. The more kindness you give, more kindness you receive. More love you give, the more love you receive. More forgiveness you give, no problem. But this is what people think. If I told you, and I was like super intelligent guy going, oh, the more French fries you give, the more French fries you're going to receive back. People are like, dude, you're crazy. That's the same thing as saying the more money you give. Money's the same as a French fry. It's a man-made construct. So when we start understanding how giving works, we start realizing, one, that man-made constructs have nothing to do with the infinite. The giving's in the infinite. So when we give in the infinite, we give more, we're given. We don't receive. So you give more and you're given more. But you have, like, if somebody would have told me, and this guy's almost known me that long, somebody would have told me when I lost everything, including my mom's house, that I was being given so much, I'd have told him to F off. Immediately. I'd be like, what are you, insane? Are you on drugs? I'm being given something? I just lost over $100 million, including my mom's house. The only reason I wanted to be rich was to buy her this house, and I'm being given something? Well, here I am 18 years later, and it was the greatest gift I've ever given and been given. Greatest. Saved my life, saved my marriage. Made me more money than I ever imagined by losing all of that. Pissing my wife off when she's like, well, you lost over $100 million, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, whoa, I invested over $100 million, so I make more money today. Just a matter of time. Right? Because every problem, the solution already exists. It's just a lapse of time until it becomes a resolution, a resolution. And so my game is, let me shorten the distance, the lapse of time between every one of your problems and the solution that already exists, either from my personal experience or the relationships that I have. And then people go too far and like, oh my God, you got me from A to B. No, I didn't. I just shortened the A and B were already together. I just shortened the distance. And you think I did something magical. I was just telling you where the potholes were. I was introducing you to people that could help you get to A to B. All the things that I do in my mission in giving, of giving more, being given more, receiving more, and asking for more than more. And remember, receiving is super important. Like, most people don't know how, including me, fully, abundantly know how to receive. I still go to dinner with my brothers, and I can't let them split the check even. Or certain friends, like, I literally have a problem. I have to force myself not to pick up the check. When I forget, it's the greatest gift I could give to my brother, to let him know he's able and capable of helping me. When you're able and capable of helping other people, you're at your highest self, you're closest to God. And you're cheating people. When they offer things to you, hey, let me introduce you to this person. Let me give you some money. Let me give you a car. Let me give you whatever it is I'm giving you. And you say, no, no, like my mom used to. It's okay. We don't need that. You realize you're cheating that person of their highest self. Let them be able and capable of helping you. I live my whole life, the majority of each and every day in this mission, in this divine direction. 36 hours, I've been the most productive I've ever been in 36 hours. I left my house at 4:40. I woke up at 2:40, worked out, did all my non-negotiables, left my house at 4:40 on Monday morning, drove to San Diego, got on an airplane, was very productive on the airplane, landed in JFK, went to a meetup at EO, did my talk at EO, went back to the airport at LaGuardia, flew to Dallas, went to the airport, had a 7 a.m. meeting at the airport, flew to Utah, had 5 meetings in Utah, went back to the airport in Utah, flew to San Diego, got here at 5 o'clock for the meetup, and I'll be home by 7 for my non-negotiable time with my wife. Not that I haven't already spent it, because any time I had a break, I was on the phone. I talked to every single one of my daughters, my son, and my wife for my minimum non-negotiable already. I'm just adding more time to what's a circumstantial priority for me. As much as I'd love to stay here all night, it's not my priority. My minimum is an hour in every city that I go to do this so that you can get from A to B faster with less potholes.
Well, I just want to say this. If you have the mic, please. for anybody here that wants to get closer to God, you can give me a car, a house.
Yes.
That makes you feel better. Okay.
I love it. But, I love that.
But I do have a
trust question. Me, my girls have no problem with it.
Yeah, they have no problem with it. I do have
especially
a question.
Two of them.
I do have a question for you because, like a lot of people here, and we've only known each other a short time, but you've gotten me already in a lot of places that I was like, whoa, you know, we were on our way here and I was calling people. And I'm like, who did you just call? And I was like, yeah.
Hall of Famer.
Yeah. So when I have those conversations, for me, you know, the bar, I keep the bar like kind of here because I'm 6 years old. So I don't too high, too low.
Right.
But my question to you is on the way to doing that, because it is accelerated for sure. How do you not trip and fall? How do you not hurt yourself?
Right.
So, like that piece.
So you're going to trip and fall. My new brand's called Made From Mistakes. So first of all, you're going to trip and fall. It's, believe it or not, quantitatively, how fast are you going to get up and get back to center? See, I love when you get older, you realize, right, that getting too high is just as harmful as too low.
Too low, yeah.
Right? And my football coach in college used to try to tell me that because I would live my life like this. And he was like, just keep playing, man. Like, you celebrate too much and you beat yourself up too much. And I did it in business all the time. Mm-hmm. And ease or dis-ease is the categorization of what I look at today. Am I at ease or am I at dis-ease? Is it aligned with where I want to be or better this activity? Or is it interfering with it? And when I say activity, I mean what I'm doing, saying, thinking, feeling, and believing. Those are activities. And it's full 24 hours a day, including sleep. Is it activity? Mm-hmm. Hanging out, getting high on your mom's couch. That's an activity. Right? People say, you're the busiest guy I know. I said, I'm not busy at all. Busy means inaccessible. I'm probably the most accessible person in my position I know. You can call any of you, talk to me for 5 minutes any day you want. I do a minimum of 12 calls a day for 5 minutes every day, 7 days a week. Oh, doesn't that piss off your wife? No, she's sleeping when I'm doing it. Mm-hmm. Right? And doesn't piss her off either or anybody else when I leave my own act, get it in LA, right? First one to leave the dinner in LA. Because I have an unwinding routine and I was out of there and everybody did just fine. Were you? Yeah. But that allows me to do all these other things and still spend a minimum of time on sleep, my family, my health, the faith, the finance, the study of time and study of relativity. And that's just 12 hours of my day, most of it sleeping. So I can do whatever I want with the other 12 hours, more time with my wife tonight. More time doing emails, I don't know, whatever I want to do with the 12 hours according to the circumstances of the day. You know, some days I do a minimum of an hour a day on my health. Some days it's like 5 hours, minimum of an hour with my family. Sometimes it's 18 hours or whatever. So that's your choice.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But ease and dis-ease aligned with where you want to be or better or interfering with it is a great way to determine, is this activity one that I should be spending time doing, or should I shorten the distance of time because it is interfering with where I want to be? Like worrying, guilty, resentful, angry, frustrated. These are not ways to get to where you want to be or better. They're definitely interfering with where you want to be.
So if I fumble.
Which you will.
It's okay in terms of.
Yeah, it's just how fast you get back to center.
Back up.
Yeah, back to center. I don't even think it's up. Like for me, it's okay. What am I supposed to learn? What did I do to be responsible and learn from it? What did I do to attract it and learn from it? What did I do to participate in this perception and learn from it? That usually with a stop, drop, and roll will get you back to center. Mm-hmm. And also it expands you because you're learning. Life is easy. It starts when your heart starts and stops when your heart stops. That's the human experience. Don't make it harder than you than you do. And in between your heart starting and your heart stopping, you're just here to learn. You're not going to learn unless you what? Make mistakes.
You got to make mistakes.
Right. Like if I gave you all the answers to every test in life you ever had and you had the teacher's guide to everything. Number one, how many things you think you'll actually learn in life? And two, how much fun would life be? Mm-hmm. So if you're here to learn and it starts when your heart starts till it stops, then for you, it's, oh, I'm being protected, promoted, loved, and perfected by the things that I don't understand And in entrepreneurship, there's two things that stop you. One, there's no evidence that you're going to get to success or what you think is success. And two, most of the time, the evidence is contrary that you're ever going to get there. And most entrepreneurs think they're punished every time they realize there's no evidence that I'm going to get there, or it's contrary to me ever getting there. And instead of feeling protected, promoted, loved, and perfected by saying, oh, what am I supposed to learn from it? Like, my favorite thing my mom ever did to me was that day when I told her she had to move. And I literally crying said, Mom, why is God punishing me? And she literally looked at me and smirked and said, God does not punish anyone. He loves you. He's protecting you, promoting you. He's perfecting you. You got to figure this out, son. I'm not letting you off the hook. So arrogant me at the time is like, well, then I don't believe in God. If God protects, promotes, loves, and perfects you by making you lose over $100 million and your house, then I don't believe in God. And she said, oh, you believe in God, just the wrong God. Let's figure this out. What can I do to help you? Could you imagine? Didn't give a shit that I lost your house. What can I do to help you? Do you need money? What can I do, son? But you got to figure this out. And thank goodness that that happened to me, because I would not be here probably at all. My heart's still beating because the lessons that I took from where I was at that time in my life.
That wise mother.
Yeah. And just celebrated her birthday. So, and my dad.
Oh, wow.
And Steve Harward, I think. Anyways, all right, next question.
I got one for you. How come no matter how many wins we get in one day, or 1 week, or 1 month, we focus or we want to go into a moment of pain when we don't get one of the wins?
Yeah. Not everybody does that, by the way. Maybe minutes and moments. Anybody read Michael Singer, Untethered Soul, Surrender Experiment? Now he has Untethered Wisdom. Yeah. Great. Great. Read it. If you want to understand surrender, allowing. The problem is you define winning in the wrong way. See, when you're attached to an outcome and you define the outcome as winning, you're always going to be in that situation. I didn't win. I'm attached to the outcome. I'll be happy when. That's the outcome-based life that most people do. The problem with I'll be happy when is you're going to fill the God-sized hole with everything but God, and you're never going to be happy. I went through it with money, right? My identity was tied to money. I'll be happy when I make my first million, buy my mom a house and a car. I'll be happy when I make 10 million. I'll be happy 20, 50, and then 100. I kept getting less and less happy. And the losses and wins became critical. Like, I was so tied into my bank account that I remember one time my wife's like, what's the matter? I was like, my bank account went down. So how much? I'm like $1,100. And she's like, are you a fucking idiot? And I didn't have the nerve after she told me that to tell her that there's actually been times where I look at my account and it was up like $100. So I had like 6.2 million liquid in my Bank of America account and it went up $100 and I actually felt better. This is right. And I will tell you, right, I do everything without the dis-ease. It's what am I supposed to learn from this? How can I be of service and value? Knowing value is what? Giving people more of what they like, what's working, and what they know, taking away what they don't like, what's not working, what they don't know. So I'm asking questions all the time by subject matter, topic, and expertise. I'm playing on teams by subject matter, topic, and expertise with people that are ahead of me and people I can help get to where I am. So if you think about it in a team, right, I'm playing a position and there's guys that are better than me that I want their position and there's guys that are worse than me that want my position. But I'm constantly asking, hey, you know, whatever the subject, topic, reaction, what do you like about AI? What don't you like? What's working for you with AI? What's not working? What do you know about it? What don't you know? Because now I am in a position of value because I can ask two questions. The first, not as valuable as the second. The first question is, would it help you if? So would it help you if I gave you more of what you like? What's working or took away what you don't like or not working. But the second question is the one that has a real value, which is, do you know anyone that could help me? Mm-hmm. Why? Because if I allow you to be able and capable of helping me, you're at your highest self and you feel much better than me giving. When I give, I feel able and capable of helping you. I feel great. When I receive, I allow you to do it, which actually makes me feel better because now I'm able and capable of allowing you to be able and capable, which means I'm able and capable of allowing you to be at your higher self and closest to God. That's the infinite loop of giving. You see how it works? The more you give, the more you're given, the more you're given, the more you receive, the more you receive, the more you can ask for. So now you have more than more, and then more and more and more, and you end up with more than more. Most people that live their life, most kind, generous, honest, giving, forgiving people, they give more than they receive because they don't understand the man-made construct of what there is of giving. And so they end up in a zero-sum game. My mom used to do it all the time. Oh, I'm going to donate the money. It'll all come back to me. No, it won't. And it didn't. You're living a fucking zero-sum game and I'm starving.
Right.
And you got me conned into the fact that this scarce world of yours actually exists. And I had to go to therapy and energy work and all these things to say, I love you, Mom. And I got more out of my life by watching you, Mom. But your advice sucks. The internet wasn't a fad. I definitely didn't need to be a real lawyer. And the more money you give, the more you're going to receive is not true. But I watched her. And I learned to enjoy the consistent, persistent pursuit of my potential with her support. Because I knew, unlike me who tells my kids every day, I love you, I'm proud of you, and I always have your back. My mom was such a great mom, she never had to tell me. She did, but not every day. But she was such a good mom, she knew that I knew, and my five siblings knew, that she loved us, she was proud of us, and she had our back. My dad, not a chance. He wouldn't even say it, but he didn't. He loved me. I know that. Never articulated that he was proud of me. Literally, I'm not sure if he was competing with me or proud of me. I still don't know.
Yeah, that is weird.
And he definitely didn't have my back. But I tell my kids every day, because I'm not as secure as my mom, because I travel, right? I do things for myself. My mom didn't. Everything she did was for us. She didn't have to tell me. She did. But not texting me every day out of my own insecurity for great content. Same thing with my mom, right? I'm happy, I'm healthy, I love you and appreciate you. I had to tell her that because she didn't know. She didn't have to tell me the other things, but I had to tell her every day because she was insecure about that I was happy, I was healthy, that I loved and appreciated. I still text every single day, her phone, kept on my plan. Now at least I know she sees it. All right.
Just real quick.
Yeah.
So Oscar Reeves.
I have a question real quick. What is a quick question? Because a lot of people through my career are like, hey, I got a quick question. And then the question didn't seem so quick. But go ahead. Pressure's on.
He's behind. For the Lakers, right?
Yeah.
I found a device that you found, you guys would use before. I'd love to be able to figure a way of having him connect.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. And I'd be happy to try. Introductions. In the manner of introductions, people can make introductions. But a lot of times people ask for an introduction in an unrealistic way that they're damaging their credibility. This is not one of those cases. And so they'll say to me, oh, can you introduce me to Gary Vee? If I get with Gary Vee, that's going to change my life. Gary Vee's not going to change your life. I've had people tell me, if you just let me on your podcast, it'll change everything for me. I go, let me just be honest. It won't. It won't move the needle for you. It's good content that later on may move the needle when you actually have a community. So when you're asking people for introductions, make sure that you're not a favor. Right? Put yourself in that position and say, why would that player at the Lakers legitimately, well, you have a legitimate business. You work with many professional athletes. He needs that solution. Maybe or maybe he's aware of it, not aware of it. But there's value to it. And so it's legitimate. I introduced you to Marshall Faulk because I knew you could bring value to Marshall. But I don't introduce everyone to Marshall Faulk because they think Marshall Faulk's going to change their life. But then all I'm doing is hurting you because you become a favor. Mm-hmm. And yes, most of the people that I know will talk to or take an introduction, but all you are is a favor, and now I've hurt you. Mm-hmm. And I've used up a favor for me. Mm-hmm. When I'd rather use a favor to help a whole bunch of people, not a favor to make you seem like you're a favor.
Right.
And most of the people are so nice, all they're going to do is blow smoke up your ass because they're too afraid to tell you not at this time. Mm-hmm. So you're going to continue to follow up with them and then tell me, oh, you know, so-and-so hasn't got back to me. Yeah, no shit, because you were a favor and he's just trying to appease you. Or even worse, he was trying to make me happy. So I try to do my best to say, okay, let's look and see. One, is this a good introduction for you? Will it move the needle for you? Are you credible and can bring that value? And two, who else can I introduce you to that can change your life?
And I think one of the questions I asked you was, who do you, because this is, and I think this is an important way to ask the question is, who, based on what you know about me and my business, what I do, who do you think I should meet?
I think exactly what you should ask.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm currently doing this with these people. Do you know anyone that can help me? Is how I put it.
Yep.
Right. Remember the two valuable questions, would it help you if? The more valuable question, do you know anyone that can help me? Because if they're able to help you, that's their higher self. That's when they're closest to God, because they're able and capable of helping you. When we're closest to God is when we're able and capable of helping others. You're giving them that opportunity. But most people don't ask that question. They're too worried about, would it help you if? And they don't even ask it that way because they don't know value. They haven't taken the time to be more interested than interesting. See, for me, being interested is I want to know subject matter, topic, or expertise, what you know, what you don't know, what you like, what you don't like, what's working, what's not working. It's really clear in my mind. The words come out because I practice so much. Most of the things that I do, I put into the realm of playing golf. You, no matter how good you are or bad you are, doing something is like the tee box on the first hole, right? There's level of how well you're practiced. So if you're on the tee box in the first hole and nobody's around and you suck or you're great, you're at the same level of calmness, right? But the minute you got three people playing with you, whole nother level. When you got two other groups behind you, whole nother level. When they're lined up down the green, a whole nother level. And it's just a matter of practice. I have a clapping analogy that I told my girls. I was in front of 22,000 people with my kids and backstage and super calm, right? People, even the real speakers, they're nervous. They're earphones on. You can't talk to them. I'm not going to mention any names because they'd be embarrassed. And one of them came up to me and they're like, because I was just fucking around backstage with someone like Andrew. He's been there with me, right? And it's like, hey, when do you go on? And I look at the clock and it said 3 minutes and 2 seconds. I'm like, 3 minutes and 2 seconds if he's on time. And then they're like, well, what are you talking about? And I turn to Nick or Jake or Andrew. I'm like, hey, what am I talking about? And they almost like pee their pants for me. And so my kids are like, Dad, don't you get nervous? I said, I would if I wasn't prepared to the point of clapping. They said, what do you mean? I go, I want you to come on stage with me and clap me on the stage. Not only be a cool video, but only if you're not nervous. Would you be nervous? 22,000 people clapping me on stage. And all of them like, no. I'm like, why? Well, because it's just clapping. I'm not speaking. I'm not answering questions. I said, exactly. When I get on a stage or do a video or an interview, for me, I'm just clapping. That's how many reps I've had in doing what I do, telling the stories and teaching the lessons, knowing exactly what to do with the clock, how to connect and make people feel strongly for me or strongly against me. And they will feel that way when I speak. And I'm okay with it. They both move the needle for me. I just got to make you feel strongly, and you're going to want to see more of me. I learned that lesson from Howard Stern in the movie Private Parts, when they're like, his brand was growing, and they're like, he's the number one radio star in the world. And they're like, well, why? It's, well, the people who love him tune in to see what he's going to say next. And the people who hate him tune in because they can't wait to hear what he's going to say next. Because he made that was it. I remember when I started, I wanted everybody to like me. And the guys on elevator pitch when I first started the TV show were like, dude, this is going to be exhausting for you and nobody's going to like you because you're like drinking water. There's no spice. There's no attitude. You're just literally whatever diplomatic thing you could say, that's what the position I was taking. And that doesn't do it. Taking a position, taking a stand, I'd rather someone challenge every fucking thing I say than agree with me. Or tell me what I said changed their life, and then I can say, no, I didn't. They changed their own life. I just sped it up and made you avoid some obstacles and gave you help, other people carrying you and things that I do. Awesome. All right. Aubrey, you can pass that to
her. Aubrey, you can have a seat if you like.
She's an actress.
You can have a seat if you like. You can come closer. Go right ahead.
This is actually crazy.
Hello.
Hi, David. This is crazy because from the event that I went to
last week.
Yes.
You were awesome, by the way. Aubrey Singh in front of all these doctors sold out.
You guys,
room is awesome.
With David Gadd for the last 3 days. If you guys don't know who that is, he wrote If I Was a Girl for Beyonce, All of Me for John Legend, Skyscraper for Demi Lovato.
Wow.
Yeah, no, this man's changed my life. It's for real. He's a liar.
I've been told.
So, anyway, from that event, I also sat next to a TV show host on ABC, and she's like, I want to help you get a TV show. And then the next girl was like, I know what you're going through, and I want to help you do a documentary.
Let's go.
He's changed my life. He's such a liar.
All right.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
And then Brian Schur came up to me, and he's like, I want to help you. If you guys don't know who that is, that's Nicki Minaj's manager and Tyga's manager and T.I.'s manager. Like,
and every little, except for Little John, which I represented. So Little Yachty. All the littles.
In the last week, my whole life is like, what the fuck is happening?
Because things happen very slowly.
Oh my God.
Then all of a sudden.
Yep.
So here's my.
You hear that back there?
Yeah.
Things happen very slowly, then all of a sudden. That's why you don't quit.
Yeah. And just real quick, I know this is not about me, but I was.
But it is now.
Now it is. I was going to stop singing and I came to David for business. And 6 months into it, he was like, I think it's great that you do jujitsu, but I want to talk about your singing. And I was like, why the fuck does David Meltzer know I sing? Are you the mafia?
I've been accused of that too.
I just wanted to do jujitsu. And here I am hanging out with Tony Gadd or Toby Gadd. So
Mr.
anyway,
Mr.
and Brian. Shit. So my point is this. I've realized that I suck at asking. And I'm awkward as shit, and I tend to ruin things when I actually don't let them happen naturally. But now I know that I have to pursue these things. Now that I've been given those opportunities, what do I do without looking like an idiot? Thanks.
First of all.
Thanks, David.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know how to do all that. How do you not fuck it up?
First of all, you're going to fuck it up.
Oh, great.
That's okay.
Great.
Everybody does. So it's shortening the amount of time by asking for help, learning the lessons, being confident in the fact that I'm going to fuck this up once and I'm going to practice not until I get it right, but I practice things until I don't get them wrong. Doing your best, learning lessons, and having fun. It has nothing to do with whether or not you make a mistake or not. You will not get to where you want to be unless you're doing your best, learning lessons, and having fun. I had a coaching client who didn't come out to my EO event. He lives in Manhattan. One of my first ones. I've been coaching him for years, and he always tells me where he wants to be, right? I want to be like you, man. I want to have shows. I want to speak on big stages. I want to have millions of dollars in coaching, all the things that I do now. And I said, why aren't you coming out to the event? I will host you. Well, you know, it's 2 hours each way and back. And I just said, hey, man, I just have to be honest. From what you've told me, what you and where you wanted to be, that's not how you get there. You're disciplined, bro, but you're not devotional. You're not doing your best. You're not doing your best. And it's not sacrifice. It's not sacrifice. It's investment And for me, it's prioritization of time. Like, people give me every excuse in the world. And I said, let's just be honest. You have more important things to do. It's not because you're sick. It's not because of your diet, your dog ate your homework, whatever else. I get it. And I'm okay with it. It's you, man. It's what you want. But you've hired me to get you to where you want to be or better. And in order for you to get to where you want to be, why she calls me a liar is I can't get you from A to B. That's a private lesson between you and God. That's why it's called devotion, not discipline. I can work on make you disciplined. I can scare you. I can be mean to you. I can guilt you. That's what coaches can do to you to be disciplined. Oh, fuck, I'm too afraid I'm going to be on time. So now I'm disciplined. I'm on time because I'm afraid of getting in trouble. But that's not devotion. Devotion is doing your best because you want to pursue your potential. You want to learn as much as you can. And it's the real people in the world that can actually have fun doing it. Right? Actually enjoy this. Literally, everybody in my 36-hour trip was like, dude, why are you doing a meetup in San Diego? This is why. Nick's exhausted. He's been pushing it.
I got sunglasses through, really.
But I know Nick feels like I know Nick. He wouldn't miss this. He's here of service and of value, and he knows that at 25 years old on a Tuesday night at 5 to 6 o'clock, there's way better things that most 25-year-olds would be doing. His biggest problem is we have so much fun that when he's not doing stuff, it's a huge letdown. That's what my problem in my life was. I had to use drugs and alcohol because that's why athletes and entertainers, when you're on stages with thousands of people 3 times a week and you're doing videos with millions of people and you're doing interviews with these interesting people and you're on airplanes and, man. But that's easy to get fired up with. It's when you go home and you're by yourself when you're 25 years old. How do you handle that? I'll tell you how I handled it. Same way most 25-year-olds handled it, right? Go back out. Drink, get that feeling back. And then when you're tired, just do some blow. And then you can extend that feeling. Then you do blow, you drink some more. And you feel that again. The only problem is eventually you drop even farther. Now you need more alcohol. And then you need more drugs and more money. And you're still on the stages and still on the TV and still on the podcast. And it's literally filling a God-sized hole with everything but God. He has blessed you with an option and opportunity that nobody else really gets, and you're fucking it all up. You are a Hall of Fame quarterback. You're an unbelievable baseball player. You're in movies and TVs. And God has blessed you with this because of your behavior, and you can't handle it. So he's going to teach you a lesson. And hopefully you learn it before you die, before your heart stops. And the lucky ones of us recover. Remember, remind, and recollect God in their life. You can't do it without your God. I'm not a religious person because I wouldn't put that onto you. I don't want to separate me from you, but I'm a faith-based person. I believe that everyone in the world should believe there's something bigger than them that loves them more than their mom. I think it's a huge advantage. And it takes faith. Because most of the time, evidence doesn't say that you're going to get all these opportunities. If I asked you 2 months ago, you would have been, thank you for all your help. Thank you for all your help. I'm keep on trying, Dave. I'll keep doing my best. Keep your help coming, but thank you, but not this. Somebody would tell me I'd be where I am today, not a chance. Anyway, as I always say, be more interested than interesting. It's Talk About Tuesday. Is that car on fire? Be kind to your future self and put out the fires. God bless you.